day and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Paranormally Speaking, where this week I will be discussing, wait for this, Mel's Hole, the strange mystery of a bottomless hole in Washington State. Getting to the bottom of Mel's Hole on Mel Waters' property in the Monashta Ridge west of Ellensburg, Washington, there is a hole in the ground that looks like a well, but it's not a well. Like the owners of the property before him, Mel used the hole as a trash dump. His neighbors used it as well. Garbage, broken appliances, old tires, everything went into this hole. After a while, Mel started to wonder, why doesn't it fill up? Then he started to notice other strange things about the hole. His dogs wouldn't go near it. It caused his radio interference to pick up strange signals as well as not work properly. And it didn't appear to have a bottom. Mel's curiosity became an obsession. And, well, let's see if we can get to the bottom of Mel's Hole in this episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks. And I've got a lot of bizarre things to share about the story of Mel's Hole. Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
Unparalleled insider access. Get it all. Introducing the SiriusXM Platinum VIP plan. Our newest, most exclusive plan. Listen in two cars, plus stream anywhere with two app logins. Access a massive, exclusive library of live concert video and audio recordings through nugs.net. Have opportunities to experience live and virtual SiriusXM events, including VIP-only exclusives. Get all your questions answered by a dedicated VIP customer care team. Plus, get all the entertainment we've got. It's all included with your Platinum VIP subscription. Be a VIP. Call 844-711-8800 to learn more. Offer details apply. One login per activated vehicle. Not available in Canada.
And now we're back with more about the hole that is Mel's Hole. 10 unbelievable facts about Mel's Hole. First of all, there is a bottomless hole in the ground about 9 miles west of Ellensburg, Washington. At least that is what a man who went by the name of Mel Waters claimed to exist on his property when he called into a popular paranormal radio show in 1997. People are still talking about the mysterious pit, which has come to be known simply as Mel's Hole. This seemingly endless hole had already been baffling locals for decades. When Waters brought it to the public, it caught the interest of curious minds everywhere and quickly became an urban legend. While some listeners doubted his often outlandish claims, others were captivated and wanted more. Decide what you want to believe about the legend after I share 10 claims Waters made about Mel's never-ending hole. On February 21st, 1997, a man who called himself Mel Waters phoned a well-known late-night radio show that featured a paranormal story, featured paranormal stories, called Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. At that time, Art was the head of it. It was long before he died. Coast to Coast AM, at that time, was the most popular place to discuss all things paranormal, weird and unexplained. They even featured it in an episode of Millennium, which was an unofficial spinoff from The X-Files. It was the most popular place to discuss all things paranormal, and it was a perfect audience for Waters to tell his story. He captivated Bell and the listeners with his tales of a seemingly bottomless hole on his property that possessed mystical qualities. Local legend said it was cursed. The first settlers dubbed it the Devil's Hole. Waters refused to give the exact location, just saying that he lived in Kittitas County, Washington, in a region adjacent to the Montasha Ridge. In two follow-up calls in April 2000 and January 2002, his stories grew even more extreme. There was no way to know at the time that Mel's Hole would continue to capture the public's attention for years to come. Waters tested the depth with fishing line. This is one of his claims. Waters, his neighbors, and previous owners regularly used the mysterious hole as a natural trash pit. They dumped household waste, furniture, building debris into this pit for years, but somehow it never ever filled up. Eventually, Waters grew curious as to the hole's depth. On his first call to the radio show, he described an attempt to test the depth of the hole using a large amount of fishing line, about 80,000 feet of it to be exact. Now, where you would come into 80,000 feet exactly, I don't know if he contacted like a fisherman's boat or what. But Waters claimed the line still did not reach the bottom. As a reference, the deepest cave in the world is 7,257 feet. According to the United States Geological Survey outlines, the amount of fishing line that Waters used would reach about a quarter of the way through the Earth's crust at its thickest. Another fun fact he shared. The hole brought a dog back to life. But the fishing line was only the beginning, and a claim reminiscent of Stephen King's 1983 horror novel and 1989 movie by the same name, Pet Sematary. Waters described an instance where his neighbor dropped the body of their deceased pet dog in the hole. The owner got the shock of their life when they saw their pooch alive and well in the nearby woods only a little while later. They recognized the dog because he wore the same collar, but the dog showed no signs of recognition of his owner and did not respond to the calls. While it may be a more desirable result than the grieving pet owner saw in King's tale, Waters' claim was more than enough to terrify and enthrall the listeners. Another one that he shared, certain items act strangely near Mel's hole. In another claim, Waters revealed that Mel's hole and strange effects on some everyday objects. Art Bell and his listeners hung on to every word as Waters mentioned the odd things that metal items and portable radios would start to do whenever they were near the opening of the 9-foot diameter hole. He claimed that metals would mysteriously change into other metals or substances whenever he held them near the entrance. Waters also recounted an instance where he brought a radio to the pit and set it on his favorite radio station, but instead of music, the radio put out strange unknown voices and programs and music from the past. More unexplained circumstances at Mel's Hole. Waters also described many of his experiences at the pit, and each one seemed to produce a more unsettling result than the last one. In one of his final calls, Waters described lowering a bucket of ice down to 1,500 feet, and when he lifted it out, he noticed that the ice was warm, but did not melt. He said it had changed into a flammable substance. The warm ice was not the only time that his experiments defied the laws of science. When he yelled down the hole, he claimed that there was no echo. There was also no sound after large trash items such as refrigerators or television CRT tubes were thrown into the pit to confirm that they had hit the bottom. One time he lowered a sheep down in the hole. One of Waters' most disturbing claims involved lowering a live sheep into the hole around 1,500 feet, as he did in the ice bucket experiment. The sheep shrieked and kicked on the way down, then suddenly went silent. When Waters lifted it out, he found that the animal had been cooked. The sheep had also developed a strange lump, which, to his horror, started to move. He cut it open and found a fetal seal that he had gazed at him with intelligent human-like eyes. Waters went on to add that the creature miraculously cured his cancer. It jumped back into the hole, but was seen later by local sheep herders who claimed it radiated a benevolent presence. This chilling story may explain why Waters' dogs refused to come within 100 feet of the hole, and why birds never sat on the stone retaining wall or metal cover. Strange lights have radiated from the hole, according to Mel. The many strange occurrences that Waters recounted on Coast to Coast AM were not limited to the lowered into the hole sometimes mysterious things. would come out of it as well. Waters described a disturbing report from one of his neighbors who had seen a blacker-than-black beam of light come from the cursed pit. He explained it as the light of a flashlight that threw out of a beam of solid black instead of the standard whitish hue. Black is easily one of the most ominous colors that could come from a mysterious pit, as it is often associated with evil, death, and emptiness. The federal government seized the land. The talk of Mel's Hole eventually got big enough that the federal government caught wind of it. As Waters recounted in a later call, he was heading toward the hole one day when a man in a suit approached him and said that the area had been closed off due to a plane crash. The man told Waters that he was no longer allowed near the pit. Waters described seeing men in biohazard suits standing behind him. Soon after, the government leased the land and gave him a generous amount of money to vacate the property. Waters accepted the money and moved to Australia. The addition of a government conspiracy significantly increased interest in this urban legend. Waters said that he went back 2 years later. In one of his final calls, Waters claimed that he had come back to Washington 2 years after moving to Australia, despite a warning from the government not to return. He said police officers removed him from a bus and left him on the streets of San Francisco 2 weeks later. He had IV marks on his arm, several missing teeth, and no memory of what transpired. Waters managed to continue to his hometown, but felt that menacing strangers were stalking him. He was told that his land had been taken over by the government and found the region had been erased of an early mapping system called Terra Server. But that was not the end of Waters' story. He said that he found a nearly identical hole in the Badlands of Nevada. This one had a metal ring that extended down into the ground instead of a brick lining. But his experiment at the site produced similar results. And to this day, Mel's Hole is still discussed regularly among conspiracy theorists. Talk about Mel's bottomless holes has remained surprisingly steady since his calls to the radio show all those years ago. The urban legend has been the subject of many chat groups, like Above Top Secret in 2005. In 2007, more people got to talk about the legend in the Sheffield Forum. In 2008, a tribal medicine man known as Gerard R. Osborne, or Red Elk, kept the legend alive when he claimed to see UFOs flying over the pit. He even suggested it was an underground UFO base. A Facebook poll from the Daily Record asked people whether they believed Mel's Hole was real or not. In 2012, some people from Reddit shared coordinates of possible locations and tried to get a group together to find it in 2018. And as recently as 2022, it was featured in a podcast called Astounding Legends in May, and an article in Grunge in November, like Mel's Hole, this urban legend may have no end. Could this have been a connector between worlds, a pathway to an alternate reality, an underground UFO base, or just a really, really deep hole that you fall into and eventually you reach the bottom, but it's so far down, no one hears you die? Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors. Available to order now, my first audiobook, Neil Parks Presents Truly Terrifying Tales, narrated by me. It's ready to order and download on Bandcamp.com. My other books, of course, are always available to order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Lulu.com. You can also order t-shirts that I designed that I normally sell at conventions, festivals, lectures, and my book signings. I always have the 9-inch-tall 3D-printed Bigfoot silhouettes available, and last spring my first children's book was released. It was written by my good friend and fellow author, R.L. Walker. I illustrated this book, and it was a major shift in gears for me, considering that my writing and art style has always been dark and scary. To order any of what I just mentioned, you can also go to my email, which is parksparanormal@gmail.com. That is parksparanormal@gmail.com. Standing by. Hiccups in the Space-Time Continuum reminds me a lot pertaining to a book that I wrote back in 2016, was published the same year, Alternate Universes, Time Travel and the Unexplained. The book was still currently, because it exists, a brief yet descriptive collection of unsolved cases involving missing time, hiccups in the space-time parallel dimensional continuum, and eyewitness accounts with documents and records to confirm the validity of this anomaly. I did a lot of research and contacting people involved in these claims, these stories, these tales, these encounters, whatever you prefer to call them, and came to a lot of interesting crossroads because, I mean, it's inconclusive, of course, and these are all things that have happened that there's no modern scientific way of validating it. It's all a matter of interpretation, all a matter of presenting the collected evidence and allowing the reader to decide for themselves what it could be or how it pertains to that person's life or the altered life, that is. A listener of mine who listens to my podcast regularly sent me a few images. One was of regular, like, fall season of this tree line near their home. And in the tree line, there is nothing, just a clearing. You see the property next to him. All the leaves are gone because it is fall at this point. See the dead leaves on the ground. And it's a clearing. There's a bunch of trees together. It's not so thick that you can't see through the other side of the tree line to the neighbor's home. And it is out in the country, not in the city limits. This is a rural area where this photo was taken. And the next image that he sent me was from that next winter, where he photographed the same spot, snow covered at this point, and there is an old barn in the middle of that tree line, sitting between where it starts and where it ends, and there's a clearing, and you see the neighbors on the other side just as before, where it was the picture of the season of fall, and there was a visible clearing, nothing obstructing the plain sight of view. But now it's winter, snow covered, and he took a picture. Between this tree line, there sits an old, dilapidated barn that looks as if it's been there for a couple of hundred years. And when he took the picture, he thought to himself, that barn's never been there before, yet it looks like it's been there forever. And he started to walk towards the tree line to get a better look at this barn and was overcome by a feeling of dread. Absolute fear consumed him. He wasn't sure what he was looking at, and there had always been tales of strange things being seen in this patch of woods by people who lived there before, and people who currently live on the other side of that tree line have told him stories about strange things they've seen, lights in the forest itself, in the woods, sounds of someone crying or many people crying. And there was a family plot that was there, a cemetery, that they had moved, believed to be all of the graves and the tombstones, but the headstones are gone now, but who knows if they actually got every single grave that was there at that point in time that the people were talking to him about. Do parallel universes really exist? While still a theory, it has found backing from renowned physicist the late Stephen Hawking. So, if for a minute we assume they do exist, then the argument of alternate realities existing does follow. In fact, the two terms are often used interchangeably. Now, this alternate reality may have a different version of you. The other you may look the same, but can have a different set of aspirations. I mean, the possibilities are endless. The following glitch in the Matrix stories I'm going to share with you from listeners and from viewers of my YouTube channel are listeners who claim to have experienced this give few possible clues. A glitch in the matrix being the mold that holds the universe or the multiverse together, can occur, one can assume, when two parallel universes overlap for a brief moment, which I've referred to this as the waffle theory. In time, and a person from one reality is able to cross over to another completely different reality. When this happens, it seems to vary. Could be when you're falling asleep, driving your car, or just going about your day. Its occurrence, it seems, cannot be controlled, timed, or decided. It happens when it has to. And maybe once that's done, you come back to your original reality, the same way you went into the alternate reality. None of this has been proven yet, but once you hear these stories, you'll be left scratching your head. Now, the first one I'll share with you, this person said it was about a vanishing road. And I'll be relaying it to you in the way they wrote it to me. About 4 years ago, I lived in this fairly small fly speck of a town. At the time, I had lived there for about 12 years, so I knew my way around. Our house was about a mile and a half away from the nearest neighborhood. Our mom intentionally picked that house due to the lack of neighbors. It was tucked away on a back road with the woods surrounding it. Every now and again, I liked to take walks with my little brother, who at the time was about 13. We decided to do just that. We headed up the road and decided to try to find a new path or a new clearing that we had not yet discovered. When we noticed something a little shocking, just off the road that led almost directly to the neighborhood, there was a brand new paved road. Every road in that part of town was a gravel road, so seeing an out-of-place paved road was pretty unusual. We stared at it for a while and came to the conclusion that it must have been made within the last few days due to the modern but slow growth of the town. However, we had no explanation for how they did it so fast and so quietly. We decided to explore it a bit. I remember as soon as we set foot on the road, the air became notably colder, by at least 5 degrees colder. The road itself was a black pavement, but no dividing lines. It was surrounded by some thick red trees that resembled redwoods, but they were too short and non-native to our state, which was southern Arkansas. We walked on the road for about 3 miles until we decided to head back due to it getting dark. When we got off the road, we felt the temperature go back up. My brother and I agreed to explore it the next day. At roughly noon the following day, we set back out to explore this path, only to discover the entire road was now missing. When I say missing, I mean the trees that were cleared to make it had apparently grown back, with no sign of the redwood-like trees. We even began to explore the woods once more, but only to find no sign that it ever existed. When we asked our parents about it, they said they knew nothing about any new road work being done near us. This next one is called The Doppelganger. This person says, I used to work at a dog rescue in the Midwest. Before moving home to the East Coast, it was a small rescue, about 10 employees max, and we were all tight-knit. Nobody there resembled me. I am exceptionally short and have different hair than anyone else there. So it wasn't easy to mistake someone else for me or vice versa. This place was also haunted. We all heard a female voice yelling at us or singing near us when we were completely alone. Almost everyone saw apparitions or reflections when nobody was there. So this place was already full of some weird energy to begin with. Then it got weirder. During my last couple of months, coworkers started sending me odd texts. They would text me on my days off, asking why I was there and where I had just disappeared to. I would always reply that I wasn't there. While I was there, occasionally someone would jump at the sight of me and say something like, "What the hell? You were just outside. I saw you through the window." Or, "I just saw you in the storage room. How did you get here so fast? They couldn't understand how I'd gotten from point A to point B impossibly fast. Every time, I would be baffled and explain that I wasn't where they thought I was before. A good example that I remember, well, was this one. I was in the backyard, the only door in front, and from there goes through the main adoption room, then exits on the other end about 50 feet away into a hallway containing a kitchen and some private meeting rooms. I walked in from the outside and saw my coworker coming into the room from the hallway. She looked at me and gasped, then opened the door behind her to the hallway. She explained that she had just seen me in the kitchen doing dishes. But then she opened the door, which lay about 6 feet beyond the kitchen door. There I was coming from outside. It was actually impossible. This is where we started to understand that something very strange was going on. We all sat around and talked about it, and it turned out almost everyone was seeing a phantom version of me. Every time they saw it, it was turned around and didn't interact with them. It would go into some strange places too. For example, someone watched me go into the closet holding the water tank and followed me, asking some questions about work matters. As soon as they turned into the closet, I was gone. I hadn't walked into that closet at all around that time, let alone on that day. My best guess is that I was in the middle of making a major life decision about either staying in this city at this job and taking a promotion or coming back home to the East Coast. The decision was extremely stressful for me to make, as I really loved that job. I'm surmising that my energy literally just split somehow, and that a version of me was hanging around there while I endured so much angst over staying or leaving. If I want to get super weird about it, I could say that maybe in another reality, I decided to stay there, and maybe those two timelines were intersecting and glitching onto one another. They continued to see me after I moved home, thousands of miles away. Please hold for a word from our sponsor.
Fantastic. Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
That's terrific.
For generations, conspiracy theorists and UFOologists have claimed that there is a secret base underneath the Archuleta Mesa and Dulce, New Mexico, where the military work alongside aliens and even experiment on humans. Today I'm going to be diving inside the Dulce alien base, the terrifying story surrounding the underground base in New Mexico. The tiny hamlet of Dulce, New Mexico, has less than 3,000 residents. Virtually off-grid, this small community has been a hotbed for alien conspiracy theorists and UFOologists for years, many believing that hidden beneath the mesa is a top-secret 7-story military facility that is known today as the Dulce Base. Dulce is mainly inhabited by indigenous people and is the headquarters of the Xicarilla Apache Reservation of northern New Mexico. Despite its population, the area draws a large amount of tourists from around the world. A group of UFOologists host an annual Dulce Base UFO conference. Although rumors about an underground alien base operating around Dulce have been strong for years, it is important to note that the existence of the supposed facility is entirely unproven, even though the reports and stories surrounding it are extremely well documented. Stories started coming to light in the mid-1970s when Gabriel Valdez, a New Mexico State Trooper, reported a number of disturbing cattle mutilations. Valdez even went as far as claiming he witnessed a sophisticated spacecraft in the Dulce skies, close to where the Dulce base is said to be situated. He has said to have found a mutilated cow that had a dead fetus inside of it. However, he made the horrifying claim that this was no unborn calf. He said that it appeared to be as though it was some form of hybrid that looked like a human, a monkey, and a frog. Debris that was left surrounding the cattle mutilations gave Valdez the impression that the government was involved in this somehow. The evidence that was left there, you know, predators don't leave a gas mask, glow sticks, radar chaff, Valdez said. They just don't leave that stuff. Michael Barkin, a political scientist, said the cattle mutilations appear frequently following on from nearby UFO sightings. Now, I myself had an experience in Kentucky and West Virginia between the years of 93 and 96, where I was well acquainted with a couple of farmers who knew my uncle at that time very well. And he knew that I had a newsletter that I was doing called the Silent Bullet, which later became the Realm of Conspiracy. And I was diving deep into cattle mutilations, crop formations, so on and so forth. And I made connections with these farmers who had cattle show up in their fields, disappear for a while, then show up completely out of nowhere, not even in an area where they should have been to begin with, and mutilated with laser-like precision. He also added that the Colorado-New Mexico border region had become a hotbed for both UFO sightings and cattle mutilations. Reports of these were during the early 1980s. These claims made by Valdez gathered a lot of interest from all over the globe. A physicist and businessman by the name of Paul Benowitz allegedly intercepted electronic signals in Dulce that he claimed were emanating from deep down below the surface and directed at a target that was too high for any human activity. With a national and even global interest growing in cattle mutilations, UFO sightings, and bold claims of unexplainable electronic signals, the Dulce base legend was born. In 1982, Benowitz made claim that the base existed and then went on to publish a paper titled Project Beta in 1988, detailing the best way to infiltrate the facility. In May of 1990, John Lear, former pilot, government employee, and the son of the inventor of the Lear jet, made the claim that he had gathered four independent confirmations that the seven-story Dulce base was in fact real and certainly did exist. Due to his credentials, many people gave credence to his claims. He even went as far as to detail the different species of aliens who he said had visited Earth. Now, John Lear has claimed that there are over 70 different species of aliens that we currently know about. The next huge claim comes from Phil Schneider, who claimed to be a former government employee and explosives expert. Schneider claimed that he was involved in the construction of the Dulce base. Schneider made several public presentations about underground bases and laid many claims to the governments working alongside aliens. His most famous statement came in a presentation in 1995 in which he alleged that during the initial construction stages of the Dulce base, the military encountered alien beings already beneath the ground. Not only did he claim to have seen the beings with his own eyes, he said that he was caught up in a firefight between soldiers and alien life forms that were already in subterranean tunnels. During the chaos, he reported that he lost several fingers and suffered severe burns. Schneider said that the U.S. government and alien entities entered into a peace agreement. Schneider claimed that approximately 60 U.S. military personnel were killed in this apparent firefight between below the desert, none of what he said has ever been proven. However, he does have a lot of credibility throughout the UFO research community. He died in 1996 by a reported suicide. Many people believe he was murdered to ensure that he would remain silent. There have been many illustrations released of reported layout of the Dulce base. Many UFO researchers are certain that the Dulce base has seven stories and spans 2 miles under the ground, each level more secure and more secretive than the level above. It is reported that each level of the base is designed for a specific type of research, ranging from mind control on humans to genetic experimentation between alien and humans. It is claimed that 2 species of alien, the Greys and the Reptilians, have their own separate housing within the Dulce base. Nightmare Hall, as it has been named, is said to be the 6th floor and is host to some of the most terrifying stories about what goes on in the Dulce base. It is here, Nightmare Hall, that allegedly is filled with the screams of human victims that are being experimented on. Schneider claimed that although the Dulce base is a huge complex, he stated that he was merely one of the other 129 secret underground facilities of its kind that are scattered around the United States. Schneider also claimed that the United States spends, on average, between $50 and $80 billion per year on a so-called black budget that covered the costs of these underground alien facilities. What are your thoughts on the Dulce base? Let me know through email at parksparanormal.gmail.com, or you can always hop on Google, look up Neil Parks, and find me on Facebook. I have several pages, not only just for my books, but for my research team, my own independent research, and personal contact. Please hold for an important message from our sponsor.
Computer, execute 12.4p operation.
Optimizing algorithm. Running encryption packet alpha. Night. Oh, I don't feel so good.
What? What is it, computer?
Is it hot in here? It feels hot in here. I feel a little clammy. I should lie down or something.
A computer with a virus? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Those oysters Rockefeller were a mistake.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey, thank you. That is all for this week. I hope you enjoyed the Tales of Mel's Hole. Maybe we'll learn more about it as time goes by and more people stumble across it. Don't know if it's available to find any longer since the federal government got involved and kind of shifted things around, removed it from mapping systems, removed it from the view of Google Earth, as well as putting up no trespassing fences everywhere, kind of like its own little Area 51. But if it was a doorway to a underground UFO base, 9 feet in diameter is pretty small. But hey, it could be a connector to an alternate reality. So if you were to jump in, you might encounter yourself in another life, another reality, and then that would create cataclysmic reactions. So just stick to what you know. Don't jump in any holes. Have a great rest of the week. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Paranormally Speaking.